This week, we had planned on getting into Ivan's account of events in episode 2, He Said. However, it became apparent to us that we were going to have to arrange and release a new episode at the very last minute after we received several people reaching out in order to speak with us about who Ivan Cantu really is. Therefore, before we can present to you what Ivan says happened that night, we felt it would be important for you to get to know who Ivan really is. And who better to tell you than the people who knew him best. Today you'll be hearing from Ivan's ex-girlfriend Carly, and from a family member who will enlighten us as to who Ivan was, on Ivan, his childhood, and his path to death row. I hope this is worth the delay. Who is Ivan Cantu?
Ivan in elementary school. We both lived in Plano, Texas, and went to elementary school together. And I don't remember, I don't think he was there the whole time, but I mean, we were friends. I mean, we might have even like gone together when we were in elementary school. I think he was in the same schools and not like maybe moved around a little bit. I cannot remember the exact years, but
it seems like he moved yearly.
Yeah, so he was in and out of school with me. He was back in maybe 9th or 10th grade in high school, but middle school, I don't know. Anyway, probably irrelevant. But, you know, he's just a regular kid then. And then in high school, my senior year, our elementary school had a 5th grade graduation reunion. So everyone, because in 5th grade, they'd have a big graduation. And so we had a reunion at our elementary school. And that's when we reconnected, because we hadn't talked really in years. And we started dating my senior year in high school, probably towards the end of it. So he always had, in my opinion, a reputation of guy who was out partying. I mean, more of the bad boy kind of reputation. But a nice guy. He wasn't like disliked. I mean, very social, very charismatic. Everybody knew him. But definitely, I would say, more of the bad boy reputation, for sure.
What kind of trouble would he get into, do you know?
He was always associated with drugs, which that probably sounds bad. I mean, in the 90s in Plano, they were everywhere. But I would say he would be more of a person that you would have thought, or he always would have contacts. If you needed drugs or you needed to get something, he would be a person you would get in touch with. And if it wasn't him who could get it for you, he probably knew the people who could. Yeah, and I definitely went through a little bit of a wild streak in my life. And
I feel like a lot of people do.
I mean, it was fun. It was exciting. He, you know, we had fake IDs. We'd be down at the clubs. Definitely partying at a very young age. Like I said, he's always was well-liked. He was pretty kind of charismatic, and he could talk his way in or out of most things, for sure. I don't know what kind of trouble, besides probably skipping school, that kind of trouble, when we were both 17, because we both have summer birthdays, so we graduated at 17. Back then, no big time trouble besides, you know, kind of just crazy teenager stuff, speeding tickets or skipping school. I don't know if he had a record of any sort yet back then. He always wanted fast cars or nice cars. And I felt like he was always juggling some sort of credit or money stuff, playing nicer things than he should have. I don't know. So that's kind of my high school interpretation. But I graduated high school, and I was headed to Austin to go to UT. And he followed me there because we were still kind of dating then. But I think he was actually trying to get his life a little straightened out. And I think he wanted to have some legit business. Money, he never had any money. I feel like it was always some sort of scam or con or something everywhere. He was studying to get Series 7 for a while, but he failed it time after time.
What is that?
I think it's to be like a stockbroker. Yeah, the Series 7 exam. It just wasn't his strong suit. I mean, he should be in sales. I mean, in the other podcast when I talked about like how smart and stuff he is, I was like, that doesn't really ring true to me. But, sales, he could BS his way through just about anything pretty well. I mean, he always, I believe, was doing drugs. To some degree, and everything was very volatile. I was in college, trying to start my way there, and it just wasn't going to be working out with, because I might go out and party and stuff a bit, but other than that, I was in school trying to make good grades. We were kind of on two different wavelengths. We ended up breaking up. It was always volatile and always lots of fighting and always lots of drama. I know he has a lot of, there's a lot of his people talking about, I don't know if it's documented, the abuse against women. Did someone press charges against him for that, or was it just documented, or?
So, there is, in the investigative file that I have, there is some of his previous, things they had called the police on, or he'd been arrested for, and yeah, so he, do you know Chani?
Do I know Tawny?
Of her? Okay.
Yes.
So there was a police report where she called the police because he forcefully threw her out of the apartment, but she has since denied that, and even though there's a police report. But yeah, it seems like there was an altercation there. I'm not sure exactly what happened. It wasn't very detailed. She claims it wasn't a big deal, so I don't know. But in the trial transcripts, both of his ex-wives testified that he was incredibly abusive, that he even raped one of his wives. He was just, I think he put one in a headlock and put gum in her hair, and there was another one where he was like choking her with his legs, and he just did all sorts of horrendous things. Yeah.
I mean, I can see that happening.
Did that ever happen with you?
There was not a lot of the physical stuff, but I mean, there was, no, he did not hit me. And he really, I saw the precursors for this. Now, he really liked my family a lot. And my family cared about him. They thought he was nice. And I think that is one thing that kept him a little bit from going totally crazy on me with things, because he never wanted my family to know that he behaved like that. But he would lose his shit. And when he feels threatened, or if he feels like he's losing something, I feel like he loses his ever-loving mind. And I am giving you my account through my teenage eyes and on teenage behavior. So, I mean, I feel like you have to take that into account here. But no, there was a very volatile side to him. And breaking up with him was not something he really was too thrilled about. It was a little bit of a mess for a bit. And, I mean, there was a time that, he wouldn't let me out of his car. And, I mean, there was, some swinging of the hands and stuff, but it was also me trying to get out of the car. But that was probably the worst of it. That broke us off completely. He was driving around town recklessly and wouldn't stop the car at all, so I couldn't get out of the car. And while we're fighting in the car, when he finally, and it's basically like I said, he didn't want my family, my parents or my sisters and stuff to know that he acted like this. I finally got through to him to stop the car and let me out. And a guy I had started dating after I broke up with him ended up punching him, and I got away from him. But that was like,
wow.
It's weird because when I was 17, 18, I mean, I knew it was dramatic then, but it didn't seem so crazy actually saying it back. And now that I have a daughter who's 18, I'm like, oh, shit, that's horrible. Horrible. Like, I can't believe I was even a part of it, like, entertained it at all.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're a teenager, yeah, you don't know these things.
So we broke up, and it's so weird because he didn't really leave my life completely. I mean, he started dating Tawny, which he would try to put that in front of me and stuff, and I was not impressed at all. I was like, well, especially we were 18. I was like, he's how old and works where and does what? And you think I'm going to be jealous of that? I just remember, like, she was a piece of work. Where is Tawny these days?
She's still there. Do you think he was using her to try and upset you at first?
Oh, I mean, I think, I don't, that wasn't the only reason he was with her. But he did try to upset me with her, too, for sure. But, you know, I went back to Austin, and it was that summer that all that crazy stuff happened, probably after my freshman year. And we didn't talk a whole lot, but he never quite went away. He would always pop in and out of my life, whether it was we saw each other out or we just had friends. He dated a girl for years before me. Like, they dated 9th through 12th grade, and he broke up with her to date me. I ended up becoming friends with her when I broke up with him because I was like, how do I get this craziness out of my life? I mean, I feel so stupid as I'm older. Like, I remember, I can't remember every time we hung out. We had a group of friends. And so, like I said, we'd come in and out of each other's lives. I never dated him again, and he would pop up, and I don't remember which wife it was. It was always poor him. Somebody's out to get him. Crazy wife's doing this. It was just the same story regurgitated all the time. He was always wronged by somebody else. It was never his fault. He was always being the nice guy, and he was just getting screwed over. Like, it just gets old after a bit. I'm like, always needing something. Could you cover for me here? Could you do this? Could you lend me this? Could you pick me up? And there was always some big elaborate story that never quite made sense. So, you know, it's just kind of who he was. I remember seeing him on my 21st birthday when we were out. And I can't remember what the final straw was. Probably right after, when I was 21 or 22, I finally just said, lose my number. Don't ever call me again. We are not friends. We are not anything. Like, I cannot have you anywhere near my life. And he didn't ever contact me again. And I don't know, what year was the murder committed?
2000. November 4th, 2000.
I do not remember how long it had been since I talked to him. I remember getting the phone call from a mutual friend that he'd been arrested, but it'd been years. I want to say it's been at least 5 or 6 years since, maybe more, that I had talked to him. Sorry, I'm rambling on really not about anything very interesting.
No. This is very interesting because we only know the story through Ivan's eyes and through Sylvia's eyes, and they're not going to tell us the truth. They're going to try and paint him in the best light they can. So we don't really know who Ivan is. We have no idea.
Burned a lot of bridges, that's for sure. Wronged a lot of people. He's always been very charismatic and very likable, so I feel like he's just BS'd his way through a lot of life. And, you know, on the
other podcast,
I think the way they described him is super neat and organized and smart and real ambitious, and he'd been working, and I don't know if it was the mortgage industry or what. I can't remember what job he had. I mean, they portrayed him as being like some smart guy who made a small fortune and then lost it all. I remember he invited a bunch of us over to a house that he'd gotten somewhere. I think it was in Plano. But I mean, it was all built on, everything was always scam. Always, always, always. I mean, I don't have facts to all back it up, but it's always, that's just the way he rolled. He was more like a small-time con artist, in my opinion. I mean, the only legit job he probably had was the years he worked at the panty salon. I mean, And I will also back up. When I dated him, there was a very sweet side to him, too. And I know that's probably not a very popular thing to hear. There is a very good side of him. He loved his brother. He tried to take care of his brother where his mom was lacking. I mean, he always did. I know he genuinely always wanted to help his brother out. He was a nice guy. Like, I have a soft spot for animals. And, like, he was kind and would save an animal with me and was good-hearted. Like, there was good parts to him. And, like I said, that's probably not what people want to hear right now. But
well, if it's the truth, then there's no reason to not say it.
And I like to think that I wouldn't have, even in my dumber years, spent a couple years with a guy who was all terrible. I think the lifestyle he led probably really contributed to some of the terrible decisions he made. But I think he always wanted to be portrayed as that he had more money than he really had, or he was better off. Like, he always had something to prove to people. You know, in the 90s, especially in Plano, I mean, it was, everybody wanted to have the fast cars and the cool clothes and be the guy on the scene out at the clubs and stuff. And I think he was willing to do whatever he needed to do to keep up appearances and live that lifestyle. I feel like he's always been very good at manipulating people.
I get that sense as well.
I remember even listening to him talk to his mom and the way he said things. It kind of all came back fast. He's a big time manipulator. And he always has been. And I mean, it was much more small time stuff when I knew him, but it was there. And you know, in a good light, that's like charismatic and great sales skills. But when used in a bad way, it's manipulation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you ever have any interactions with Sylvia? I'm just wondering what she's actually like.
Sylvia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never liked her. I did not think she was a good mom, and I thought she bailed on her kids a lot. And it was a really weird dynamic. And I guess, again, you're coming from... When I lived with my mom and my stepdad and my sisters, it was a blended family, but I thought pretty normal. She seemed to be always out for herself, which in turn, I think he became always out for himself. And I'd met his dad, Abner, a couple of times, and he seemed nice enough, you know, but he was pretty hands-off. I mean, he was hardly involved that I knew of in Ivan's life. But Sylvia, she was not a great mom. And I don't know if she was going through her things or what, but she loved him and be there for him, but I don't know. I just know when I was a teenager, I didn't have a lot of respect for her. I didn't think she was doing what she needed to do for her kids. And I always felt really bad for Eric, too. I mean, at least Ivan was a little older. Do you know where Eric is now?
He's living with Sylvia, and she has given me a story about why he can't be interviewed, and Matt has given me a story about how, you know, he's not all there, but I don't think that's true based on what I see online, so I don't know.
I haven't had any contact, and shit, Eric might not even remember who I am. Like I said, I think he was in the fifth grade. He was so... There is, well, I mean, when he was a kid, there was nothing wrong with him. I don't know if he's done something to himself to change things now, but I mean, sweet kid, super cute, and I always felt so bad for him. Like, I just wanted to help him. I remember bringing groceries over there. I'm sure he didn't know what to expect in his life, whether his mom was going to be super mom all over him in his life, taking care of him, or up and gone. It was probably so unpredictable. You just never knew what you were going to get.
According to Sylvia and what I see online, it appears that he's very heavily into drugs, namely heroin, and he's apparently he's really struggling with that. So, and you know, I've heard that he was struggling with it shortly before the murder. So I don't know how long this has been going on. You know, if it's been this entire time or how long before that, but, yeah, apparently he's not doing very well.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah, that's very sad.
I feel for the family and his fiance's family who are going through all this. I can't even begin to imagine. And I didn't know James. I only met James a couple of times. I think that's got to be horrible. Horrible to be having to relive and go through all this stuff, bringing all this stuff up. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you. It's such a twisted story, and at this point, there's not much that it can be done, if anything. And I think, I mean, I can't understand what their end game is, but it's scary how much manipulation he's able to accomplish from where he is. I mean, he's had 20 years to go over everything and make a story to fit it, but it just didn't sound right. And
it doesn't sound right. And none of the stories he ever said, that is the same part that just rings true in my head, listening to him when I could hear his voice and stuff, telling these stories. That is what it always sounded like. Always. He's always being wronged by people. And it's never him. Ever.
Right.
And just the crazy stories. Just that stuff's been going on forever. I think it's second nature to him.
I agree. I agree.
I don't feel like I had a whole lot to add to anything, but...
No, this has been so enlightening. I really appreciate this. Because what we were presented, I mean, look at all, you know, look at this podcast. It's just been, it's just one big lie.
Oh, I know. None of it, the way they presented him just really did not sit well with me or Sylvia. Or it's just, it's bizarre. It felt really weird listening to it. But I kept going, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what happened over the 10 years I wasn't in really touch with him. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I just kind of sat back and waited and watched. It made me laugh when you said you weren't sure I even existed.
It's crazy. You have to doubt everything and question everything that they've ever said. So I'm so relieved to hear you're a real person.
It's not like I'm trying to keep it a hidden part of my life or something.
No, I didn't get that impression. I figured you didn't want to talk to them.
I didn't.
So they made that excuse.
Yeah, I really didn't. I didn't trust anything with the way they had tried to get hold of me. And after, at some point, I said, I cannot help you. I do not want to be a part of it. You know, sorry, I got nothing for you. Then they found my work email, and I had just started working at a new company. And I was like, don't be sending this stuff to my work email. I mean, granted, my family and everybody knows, but I really don't need my boss, the whole company, who has access to these emails. I know. They're like, I found your work email. I was like, yeah, clearly.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, they wrote to my mom in prison, so I guess that really shouldn't surprise me.
Well, I know, and I'm really like a nobody. Like, I don't play a big role in this at all. I'm really nothing in this. I mean, I'm not changing anything.
I think they're grasping at straws. They're desperate. They don't have anything left.
I know, but I don't know. Oh, no problem.
Yeah, thank you for being willing to talk, because I was worried that this was just going to be me and Stephanie, and I didn't want people to think that I was trying to badmouth anybody or just slander anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to sound like I was just complaining because I had this experience with them. My goal here is I want to fix what they did to James and Amy, you know, their reputation. I want the truth to be out there. I want people to know who Tammy and, well, it doesn't really matter about Tammy, but I want people to know who Ivan and Sylvia really are. And I just want the truth out there. And that's all I care about, because it's such a travesty what they've done to Kelly and her family. But I must be doing something right if they're tattling on me to my mom.
That's insane.
I mean, they're just trying to scare her to get me to stop, but my mom knows better. She knows me. She knows I would never hurt anybody that, you know, was in our shoes, because I know how horrible it is.
Good grief. Like, there's no sense
or rhyme or reason to that whatsoever. That's insane.
It's sad, and it's just, I wish they could focus on themselves and what time they have with Ivan instead of playing these games.
Where are the ex-wives?
No idea. Last I heard, he was still married to one at trial, but I haven't seen anything else. Like, I haven't been able to find any marriage certificates in Louisiana or Texas for him and Tammy. So I'm not sure what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you are. I don't know Kelly or any of them, but it just heartbreaking that they're having to do this.
Did Ivan ever talk about James, or was he close to James any of the time? That...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I met him in passing with Ivan a couple of times. I think back then, James, I think he drove, like, the canary yellow 300 GX.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. I think that's
love that car.
I know. Ivan was obsessed with when I first started, I mean, it was a 280 GX, I guess we're that old. And then it was the 300. But, like, I was a little bit on the periphery of things.
Did you have, like, an idea of what the relationship was like?
Ivan and James?
Yeah.
I was always under the impression that Ivan wanted to be more like James. I think he always kind of looked up to him. He always kind of admired him. I always felt like James was always, I don't know what the right word is, like, I don't know if it has his shit together or had it more together, or if they were brothers, he would have been like the big brother, like the one, like Ivan was always, I don't know, I felt like he wanted to be more like him or tag along with him or...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really have the right words to describe it. That's the feeling I got. I guess James would have been more in charge. I don't know. Ivan would go to him. But James was older, wasn't he?
I think they're about the same age.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just the feeling I got then.
Yeah, I get the feeling, you know, he looked up to him, he wanted to be him, he wanted his life, and so he thought he would take it.
That rings true with me, absolutely. And I don't have a lot to base it on other than just kind of a gut feel from way back when.
Right. And, you know, they keep saying how ridiculous that he's going to kill somebody out of jealousy, and I don't think that's ridiculous. I honestly think that's what happened.
I saw the beginning signs. There's always major jealousy with him. And I can't say for James, but just jealousy in relationships. And I saw it. I experienced it. And it's so random. But even when the whole, like, he had the car and stuff, like, the car stuff, I felt like car stuff went on forever. Everybody always wanting the better, nicer car. Like, it was just weird when I heard the fact that he had taken the car, and I was like, of course he did. Of course he did. Like, that just seemed very par for the course. So I don't know. And nothing, I don't have any facts to base any of that stuff on. That's just
what you know of him.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, there might not be proof, but if you know him and, you know, you were in a relationship with him for so long, I can see how you can usually tell about a person after a while.
Yes, that is true. Well, I don't know if I gave you anything worthwhile or just a little insight, but
this is amazing.
Something.
Oh, you most definitely have. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this. That's all very strange.
Mm-hmm. It is. And everything always was. I remember him. All of it was always. I never had the straight story.
I don't think we ever will.
No. I don't think so either.
I just remember Ivan from way back when he was a lot younger, and mm-hmm. there was always so many issues with Ivan because him and his mother and father divorced at a very young age, and there was a lot of issues with Ivan, and the mom couldn't handle Ivan, and you know, at the time he was a little kid, and his dad was always just a nervous wreck at times because he was dealing with, you know, his ex-wife, because the ex-wife couldn't handle the son, mm-hmm. and just those kind of issues. And as Ivan got older, it just, you know, the whatever trouble he was getting into, which I don't know the troubles he was getting into. All I know is he was getting into trouble and not wanting to listen to either parent and basically doing his own thing. And then he just, you know, he got older and it just got worse. And, you know, the people were jealous of what James had. Ivan is very believable. If you don't know Ivan, and he's very, very sociable person, very likable person. And he, if you didn't know him and he was just talking, he starts talking to you, you would think, oh wow, this guy is a super sweet guy. But deep down inside, Ivan is very manipulative. I mean, he's almost like Jekyll and Hyde, and you're like, oh my gosh, what just happened here?
Right.
What happened to that person that, you know, because I've seen them both. I've never seen it in a rage, but I've seen him where he was giving his parents a hard time, mm-hmm. and he wasn't wanting to listen, and the words that he would use against his parents.
Like, he feels like somebody who's entitled, who's spoiled.
Ivan's very spoiled. He wants everything he wants, and he wants it now, and he wants it the easy way.
Right.
You know, the easier, the better. If he doesn't have to work for it, he don't work for it. His father would even say, you know, that he was a brat. You know, that he was a brat, and that he was being selfish, and that's all that Abner would have to say to him, and Ivan would just burst out to him and just totally knock him down a few notches. And for a little kid to talk to an adult like that, you know, we used to wonder, how is he going to be as he's growing up? Well, as his teenage years, it wasn't getting easier, because, I mean, he was either in fights, he was doing drugs, and he was getting into things that he shouldn't be getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I've seen it where he can be very, very sweet. And like I said, you know, he can be very sociable, but I've also seen the ugliness in him, how he can be and totally just blindside you from, hey, you know, wow, this is really the shocker. It's just, it's hard to believe everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Sylvia couldn't handle him because I remember Abner telling her, Sylvia, he's just a little boy. He's just a little boy. And Sylvia would say, then you take him. You take him. And Abner had to work, and he didn't really, I don't recall if Abner really ever really took him or not, but Sylvia couldn't handle him, and she would call Abner and acting just as crazy times as Ivan. I think a lot of it is he was just so spoiled and so used to his way. And I think both parents feeling the guilt because, you know, here's this poor kid that is by himself with the parents are not together. So he was used to and accustomed to getting whatever he wanted.
Right.
And if he didn't get it, then he would throw a fit.
You know, if Abner told Ivan not to come back once they heard about what happened when he was in Arkansas?
Now, that I don't know. I don't believe that Abner would tell him that only because to this day, I don't, that I know of, he has not gone to see his son. And the one that has stood by his side, even from what I've heard afterwards, after all the that horrible thing that happened that night. That, I mean, I don't understand what reasoning his mom would have to go back to the apartment. Or, I have no idea. To me, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. I mean,
I feel like she's probably trying to help him hide anything that might implicate him.
Yeah, but then she must know that he is guilty.
Yes.
But from the time that he was a kid, you know, he would believe his own stories. He was good at making up stories. So how is he not going to believe? I think he's said it so many times that he honestly believes that he didn't do it.
Do you, is Sylvia a person that would like, that her son could do no wrong even when he was younger? Like, do you think that's kind of...
That's how she did it when he was younger. And I always saw it as, okay, this is a divorced kid that he's playing both parents, and if they're giving him whatever they want because this is called guilt. I mean, that's just an excuse, but I think a lot, too, has to do with how the parents react to it. Okay, you're raising a child on your own. Okay, the other parent is there for you financially. You know, they're there. But, you know, I don't know what the mother was saying while he's over there. I know how his dad is. His dad was also, I'm sure he has his moments, but I've never seen his dad angry, throw a fit. You know, he's a big worrier. He worries about everything. But I just never saw that. But they would always give them whatever they wanted. I call it guilt because they felt sorry for him all because, you know, and it wasn't Abner's idea of getting a divorce. It was the mom's idea. For what reason? I have no idea. I've heard Abner tell Sylvia before, you know, Sylvia, this is what you wanted. This is what you wanted. And she would get mad and she would curse at Abner because she couldn't handle Ivan, you know. And I think all Ivan had to do is that he wanted this or that, and one or the other would give it to him. And a lot of times it was his father because the mother, she said she didn't really have the money. But, you know, Abner would get it, and if he couldn't, he would tell him, Ivan, I can't get you that, or you're not getting that. And I think Abner started getting to the point where he was getting tired of his attitude, and he started telling him, no, not happening. And you started seeing a different Ivan. Ivan's a very likable person, just very likable. And like I said earlier, he's very sociable. If you met him in the street and he started talking to you, you would think he was just, wow. You didn't think he was who he really is deep down inside. Just get him mad and you'll see that different person. You know, when Ivan started coming around and we started hearing some of the words that would come out of his mouth, you know, for a kid, our mouths would fall open. And, you know, and we would say, Ivan, do not talk to your dad that way. Sometimes he would just look at us, and sometimes he would talk back and say, I don't have to listen to you.
Wow.
Don't tell me what to do. I mean, and that's what we saw. Abner has his hands full. And we just thought, can you imagine how he's going to be as he's getting older if he's like this when he's a little kid? It's almost like he's has two personalities because, you know, like I said, you can see him as this really nice, sweet person, and then all of a sudden you see him into this rage and, you know, red face because he was so upset because reason.
Well, like, was it usually something like he wouldn't get his way or, like, I mean, what would usually set him off?
I think a lot of it is if he didn't have it his way or if he wanted something or he didn't want to do something and he was made to do something, he would get mad because he didn't want to do it. Ivan wants something for nothing.
It's not surprising to me that he thinks that way, because look at Sylvia. She's acting like there's this huge conspiracy. I mean, you know, I see all this behavior being described, and I see a lot of it in Sylvia.
And that's what I've said before, too, that they have very similar personalities, very similar. And, you know, I can't really say, you know, it's her fault, it's his fault, because every person is, they're responsible for their own actions. And, you know, the way a lot of it at home, I mean, Sylvia was like that. She was always with Abner, always getting on to him for, I don't know really their personal business, what happened there or what. But, you know, if I had a child on death row, I mean, that's hard enough. Sylvia, his ex, is too involved. She will not let him happy because she is not happy.
So selfish.
And she's got to know, Liz, I mean, there's no way that she does not know that her son is guilty. I mean, I don't want to admit that, but it's the truth.
I think
the evidence, it's right there.
Oh, yeah. And she, to me, is an enabler, and she's in denial. And I just
can't understand. Yes, and he's in denial himself, because if it was anything different, okay, talk. What happened that night? Say who did it, whatever. Instead of making these stories, you know, the only person, you know, he talks about, what was it, that some pizza man? He was a pizza man. He worked for a pizza place.
When was that?
During that time. I don't know which one, but, he worked at a pizza place. And, you know, Ivan was very abusive. The way he talked alone to his mother, imagine how he talked and treated other women. And there's several women that will say that he was very abusive. And then hear him talk about it, and he's saying that some pizza delivery man came to his apartment and was wanting some money or wanting something, and he didn't have it, so the pizza man shot at him. Ivan still lying about it, you know, and saying whatever stories he makes up. I mean, he's just very manipulating, and he's like a bipolar schizophrenic kind of person. He was a scary person. And then the brother had been in the penitentiary, and he was a weird person himself. He had just got out of prison, and he was a drug addict also, and they did heroin and other drugs, and other friends that would see the brother would kind of freak out because he looked kind of spooky the way he would act and look at them, and felt very uncomfortable. I've said it before that there's no way somebody else was there.
Yeah, I agree.
It had to have been. There's no way. And I wouldn't be surprised if the girlfriend was there and so was the brother.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my thoughts. I could be totally, totally, totally wrong. I mean, I don't know. And I could be talking way out of hand, but I don't know. I mean, you just kind of look from the outside in and look at the whole picture and look at the evidence. You know, I hate what's happened to him, but he did what he did. There's no way around this. Just be honest and, you know, let the truth out and be free with it. My gosh, enough is enough. He needs to stop trying to buy time. His mother needs to stop trying to buy time. I mean, he did the crime. He did it.
He did.
And it's sad because, oh, you know, his mom is, she's defending her son. And I can't say only a mother would do, because I would not do that.
No.
Mm-hmm. I would not do that. No, so not fair. Yep. So not fair for Ivan to do what he did. And then he just wants to make it look like he's some kind of monster and a drug dealer and making him out to be a person that he was not. James was more man than Ivan would ever be.
Yeah.
We live through this over and over and over in our minds. And what kind of people are out there? Are they going to come after us, or what are they going to do? And it's scary, and it's kind of a life you don't want to live. And,
yeah.
You know, I just had to come to peace with it in order for me to live in peace, or else I'd feel like I'd be, you know, just a basket case, because it was horrible the way it happened.
Yeah.
And for him to go on the way he does, like nothing, like he'd do it when he knows good and well. I mean,
yeah.
He's very good at how he's acting. It's
yeah.
all an act. Very sad, you know, that it's just very sad. The whole thing is very, very sad, and I feel like James and Amy deserve justice.
I'm so angry for you guys, because I know, you know, I know what it's like, and I know what a loss it was for you guys.
I'm so sorry.
You know, I'm so sorry for your loss. I know what a big loss that was, and I'm so, so sorry.
James and Amy, they deserve justice.
I hope you will continue to listen and follow our journey as we unravel the case of Ivan Cantu and the He Said, She Said. Join the Question the Case podcast group on Facebook to join the discussion. Subscribe for new episodes on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you all next time on Question the Case.